quiet, please. ABC presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please, for today is called Anonymous.
The other night when you called me up after I made that talk on the radio, I don't suppose you know what happened, do you? Maybe you don't care. But if you've got a few minutes, I'd kind of like to tell you. You mind listening for a while? Thanks. Oh, yes, you other people can listen too if you like. I see no way of preventing you. And as a matter of fact, it might be instructive for you too. You other people don't know who I am, of course, and probably just as well. You know, though, don't you? You wouldn't forget that quickly. Sit still and listen. Well, you've got nothing better to do. You're listening to the radio anyway. Take it easy. Dear lady, you really started things. Personally, I thought it was a pretty good speech. And apparently quite a lot of my listeners thought so, too. There was a nice batch of mail the next morning. And, of course, a lot of phone calls to the studio when I finished. Naturally, most of them came from people who belonged to the party that nominated me. You'd expect it to be that way. A few came from people who vote the other tickets. But even they were restrained and polite about disagreeing with me. I was grateful to them. Because it's always good to know exactly on which points the opposition differs with you. I thank them politely, of course. But your call, dear lady. Really, I wasn't expecting that. I remember it very clearly. Although I was shocked at the time, the phone rang. It was about the 10th call there in the studio. The announcer handed it to me. I said, yes? And you said?
You know who this is.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
And you'll never find out either. Listen, I hope you drop dead.
I beg your pardon, madam?
I said I hope you drop dead.
Oh, come now, listen, madam.
Yeah.
I'm sure I don't know why you said that, dear lady. You never saw me, except in some rather smudged newspaper cuts. You never heard my voice, except on the radio. I don't know what it was that made you use such unbridled language. Was it because you didn't like my face, or my politics, or my nationality, or the church I go to, or what? What is there about me, or about my beliefs, that prompts a perfect stranger to wish a sudden, unnatural death for me? Is it because you felt safe hiding behind a telephone, knowing there was no way of my finding out who you are? Did you mean it? Or were you? I don't understand. Well, you had the satisfaction of knowing that you broke up a nice sleep for me, dear lady. My first reaction, of course, was indignation. Literal indignation. A loss of dignity. I wasn't used to having people say things like that to me. I could have forgiven it from a mortal enemy, but a total stranger. To bed. Very annoyed. My wife is a very light sleeper, and I suppose I was making indignant noises to myself, rehearsing what I'd say to you if I had an opportunity. Anyway.
Never, dear. Can't you get to sleep?
I'm sorry. Did I wake you up?
No. But just woke up and heard the nothing. What time is it?
That's one point for the two.
Are you going to smoke?
I was. You want one?
No. You know how it makes me cough at night.
I'm sorry.
I heard part of your speech tonight.
Did you?
Oh, it sounded fine.
Did you?
Of course, I've heard it so many times practicing, you know.
I know.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
What's the matter, dear?
Oh, I got a phone call that made me mad.
Did you?
Yes.
I thought you were enough of a politician to let those things roll off your back.
Ordinarily, I am. But this one...
You going to smoke, dear?
I'm sorry.
What are you so nervous about?
I'm mad, I told you.
For heaven's sake, what did they say that upset you so much?
It was some woman.
Oh? A woman?
You know what she said?
I haven't the least idea.
She said she hoped I'd drop dead.
Well, why would
I blame you for being mad?
Of course not. But don't let it prey on your mind.
No, I'm not letting it prey on my mind. Can I even mention it?
Yes, darling, of course. You don't know who it was, of course.
Of course not.
Well, try to go to sleep. Tomorrow's another day, you know.
Good night.
Good night. Dear.
I'm sorry. Good night.
Good night.
Had I better go out in the living room? Keep me awake.
Oh, no. You awake, dear?
I'm afraid so.
I just remembered. The final notice on your insurance came today. You better make out a check in the morning or it'll be too late. Honestly, dear, there isn't any connection. I just suddenly remembered.
Sure, I know. I forgot it.
I'm glad I remembered. Good night.
Good night. Very good night indeed. Try and sleep. What did the doctor say about my blood pressure? How old do people have to be to drop dead? What makes people drop dead? Embolism, whatever that is. Blood vessels burst. Things go wrong with your head. Or somebody wishes it on you. You see? You did all right, dear lady. I got out to see if I could stop that dripping shower faucet. I never noticed it before, but I couldn't help hearing it tonight. And what it kept saying. How'd you like to listen to it all night? Hear what it kept saying. I tried to fix it. All that happened was I got the sleeves of my pajamas stopping. And it kept right on dripping. Kept right on saying what it had to say, what you had to say. And at last I fell asleep and dreamed. Oh, I'd rather not tell you about the dreams. I'd rather let you imagine them. You know what they were about. You set the stage for them. heard was my wife talking to someone on the telephone at 9 o'clock in the morning. Cheerful at that hour.
Well, Frank, I'll have you call. No, I didn't hear all of it on the radio. But I heard it so many times around the house, you know. Yes, of course. I'll go, too. What? Oh, he's all right. Still asleep. I think he's got a little hangover this morning. Oh, no, not very late. I suppose he had a couple with some of the committee men after the broadcast. Oh, no, not drunk, just positive. Oh, somebody called him up afterwards and said they hoped he'd dropped dead. Yes, that's what I said. But you know him. You know how sensitive he is and how things prey on his mind. Oh, of course. Oh, no. He hasn't the faintest idea who it was. I'm sure. He's already begun calling up undertakers. Sure. I'll tell him. Bye now.
When I woke up, I couldn't remember what it was that had disturbed my sleep so, but she came and looked in the bedroom to see if I was still asleep. I said, look, I didn't have any drinks last night.
Well, didn't you, dear? Should I bring you some coffee?
You know, I hate drinking coffee in bed before I get my teeth brushed.
Well, then get up. How's your hangover?
I haven't got any hangover.
I was talking on the phone to your brother.
I heard you.
What are you so cranky about this morning, dear?
I didn't sleep very well.
Dreaming about dropping dead?
I wish
I never heard anything so silly in all my life. Letting a little thing like that prey on your mind and...
Nothing's preying on my mind. I'd forgotten all about it till I heard you shouting about it on the telephone.
Darling, I was talking very quietly so I wouldn't wake you up.
Sorry.
You know perfectly well it's absurd to be upset about somebody telling you on the phone that they wish you'd drop dead.
Dear, will you please stop talking
about it? Because it's just plain silly. And you know perfectly well that a person can't wish you to death.
Well, answer it, will you?
Probably your friend.
What friend?
The one that wants you to drop dead.
They can, too. Wish you to death. I remember what that Australian fellow told me about pointing the bones, how the witch doctor points a human finger bone at a native he wants to die, and the native just dies. Nobody can do anything about it. He just dies. That's all there is to it. He's wished to death.
What did you do? Tell everybody in the committee about that woman last night?
What do you mean?
Heavens, you've got everybody talking about it.
I just mentioned it.
Well, that was your secretary. And she says everybody at headquarters is talking about it and laughing at you for being so scared.
I'm not scared. I'm mad.
Well, I wish you'd forget about it.
And I got out of bed. For a moment, I thought I was going to fall down right then and there. You ever feel dizzy when you jump up out of bed suddenly in the morning? I suppose not. You're probably younger than I am, and things like that won't happen to you. My heart gave a big jump, and I thought, this is it. You see how far it had gone already? And I said to myself, stop it, you're being an idiot. I went to take my shower. And in the bright morning light, the dripping faucet didn't say, drop dead, drop dead, the way it did last night. Didn't give it a chance. I turned the water on as hard as it would go, and I jumped in. At the office at headquarters, it was different. Everybody was delighted with the speech, and I found a pile of notes on my desk congratulating me on what I'd said. I began to feel better right away. The mayor's note said, great work, boy. You'll be president yet. One from the radio station. You have a wonderful voice for radio. Congratulations. A telegram from the old senator. Highly impressed by your talk last night. And a copy of my speech with excellent written across it and the chairman's signature. And the little note on the sheet of yellow scratch paper, the badly typewritten little note. The note from you that said, I hope you drop dead. As I looked at it, I could almost hear your voice again.
I hope you drop dead.
And in the telephone started ringing. I knew who it was, of course. I knew I'd hear your voice as soon as I lifted the receiver. Oh, no, I said. Oh, no, I'm not going to answer that. I heard her once. I said to myself, look what it's doing to me. I'm going to give her another chance. I won't do it. I won't do it. And the phone kept right on ringing. I'm not going to answer it, I said. I'm not going to let that woman make a fool of me again. And then I got an idea. Sure, I'd answer. Sure, I'd listen to you. Sure, I'd engage in conversation. I'd have my secretary trace the call while you were talking. I'd get you. I'd find you and I'd tell you a few things about anonymous telephone calls and anonymous letters, too. I'd have to be careful, though, wouldn't I? I wouldn't want to frighten you away before I knew who you were. So I put on my best politician manner. Hello? What? Who is this?
I hear you're going to drop dead.
Oh. Hello, Doc.
So what do you do? Your wife tells me you're all hopped up about dropping dead.
She did?
I think you'd better drop around speaking.
Well, Doc, listen to me. Doc, I mean, listen, do you think... you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. If you're going to go into a gypsy dude like this, why don't you go your camp thing? Is there a lesson they look at?
But, Doc, listen.
Think about three?
Well, I suppose so.
Okay, my office is 3 o'clock. And stop worrying.
But I'm not worrying.
Well, cut it out.
What's the matter with that doctor? Does he think I'm nuts? What's he going to do to me? Tap my knee? See if my reflexes are all right? Ask me embarrassing questions about my childhood? Something about me that he hasn't told me. He said my blood pressure was a little high the last time. I didn't tell him about my hands either. Or about that pounding in my head when I sleep on my left side. I wonder if I really got nothing wrong with me. Man, my age ought to get checked up once in a while, though.
Yes, sir.
I don't want any more phone calls today.
Yes, sir.
And I'll probably be at the doctor's this afternoon for a while, if you want me.
Yes, sir. You aren't worried, are you?
Worried? What about?
About that woman hoping you'll drop dead.
Will you get out of here? Stay off. All right. Well, Doc?
You'll be all right.
Be all right?
Sure.
Is my... my heart all right?
Yes. Well, yes.
What's the matter with it?
What are you so worried about?
The pain in my little finger.
What pain in your little finger?
This one, the left one. It hurts every once in a while.
So?
Well, isn't that a symptom of angina?
Yes.
I thought so.
It's also a symptom of hangnail.
Well, Doc, listen.
And of a mild neuritis.
Am I going to be all right, Doc?
Listen, my friend. I've never given you any malarkey, have I?
No, Doc.
Never tried to scare you or anything, have I?
No. What do you mean?
I don't want to scare you now, either. But you've got to take care of yourself. You understand? You've got to take care of yourself.
What is it?
Nothing. You're taking it easy. It won't fix up. Stop working so hard. Stop staying up till all hours. And don't eat so much. And don't worry about dropping dead.
I'm not worrying.
You keep on worrying about dropping dead, and that's just what will happen to you one fine day.
Don't kid with me, Doc.
You think I'm kidding? Now, stop at the drugstore and get this filled. One after every meal. Do it that time.
All right.
And stop worrying. The human mind is a strange mechanism, my boy. One we really don't know much about. You get this dropping dead off your mind.
Ever hear the story about the man who was granted three wishes, dear lady? The one about the man that was to have his three wishes granted on one condition? On condition he wouldn't think of a hippopotamus while he was wishing? He never got any of his wishes. I never got your wish off my mind either. I came in the house.
Are you still alive?
I went into dinner.
Now, you better like this dinner. I've got all of your favorites, see? Liver and bacon, Waldorf salad with cottage cheese the way you like it. Buttered carrots, even. And for dessert, yes.
What?
Rhubarb pie.
That's very nice of you, dear.
Well, I wanted to take your mind off this obsession of yours about dropping dead, that's all.
I wish you'd shut up about that. I'm trying to forget it.
Well, why don't you forget it, then?
Well, how can I with everybody in town yapping at me about it?
I didn't say a word about it. I just said I wanted you to get it out of your mind, okay? That's all I said.
Well, if you'd shut up about it, maybe I could.
That's the thanks I get. Making you the kind of dinner you like. Spending the whole afternoon in the kitchen in all this heat, and you come home and tell me to shut up. Well, I'm not going to shut up. I've got as much right to talk as you have. Great big political candidate talks to the voters on the radio and gets all of us whipped because some fool woman calls you up and hopes you drop dead. Fine public figure you are.
Will you shut
up? Probably one of your former sweethearts, one of those beautiful girls you used to yammer about. Caught up with you at last. No wonder she hopes you drop dead.
I can't take this.
Well, I can't either.
Glad you know what you can do about
it. I certainly do.
Well, do it then.
Well, I will.
Go on and see if
I'll
I care.
I'll fix your political career for you.
Get out of here! And so, my wife left me, dear lady. She turned around as she went out the door and she said, oh, very sweetly, she said, I hope your girlfriend gets her wish, dear. She slammed the door. Sat there. My little finger began to hurt again. I could feel a throbbing in my temples. A swoosh, 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 swoosh. Swoosh. I felt so dizzy. A sharp pain in my shoulder. You'd have been very happy, I think. I drank two glasses of water. I didn't feel any better. I got to the phone and I dialed the doctor. And
what seems to be the matter?
Dizzy. I got those pains.
In your little finger?
Yes. In my shoulder, too. And my head's buzzing.
Look, I'm eating my dinner.
I'm sorry.
Take two bromides and lie down. You'll be all good.
You sure, Doc? So I took the bromides. I went and lay down on the bed. I felt better after a while. That is, physically I felt better, but mentally. And the phone rang after a while. I got up and answered it. I thought, maybe it'd be you. I thought, if it was you, maybe I could talk to you and reason with you. Get you to say you didn't mean it. The bromide made me a little dopey, I guess. The voice on the phone sounded strange when I answered. Who is this?
Is that you?
Whom do you wish to speak to?
What number is this?
What number do you want?
What number is this?
What number do you want?
Oh, drop dead.
Drop dead.
Hello. Hello, hello. Great. Great. All alone with a telephone like the old song, everybody wants me to drop dead. It really started something, dear lady. I wish I knew who you are. You know, a telephone is a pretty terrible thing sometimes. John Crosby said a week or so ago that a telephone is one of the most useful terror devices ever used on the radio. Did you read that? It's all right. Look what it's done to me. A nice telephone that you call up your friends with and wish them a happy birthday. It's a pretty telephone that rings and says, come on over, we're all having a swell party. And that you use to wish a horrible fate on me. I stop to wonder, in my dopey fashion, I wonder if I sat down in the dark and dialed just numbers, if maybe there wouldn't be some trick of fate that might bring me you there. I'd reason with you. I'd plead with you. I'd beg you to take this curse of yours off me. I wanted to talk to you so badly. I had the strangest feeling that I knew you very well. I could close my eyes almost and see you. But how could I reach you? You were anonymous, somewhere behind the telephone. It was foolish, wasn't it? Thought I'd try, just sit there in the dark with my fingers, feel a dial. Maybe they might find a combination that would bring you. Maybe. That you, dear lady? Were you telephoning someone else hoping they'd drop dead? Being anonymous and safe? I sat there a long time in the darkness, wondering. There didn't seem much point in dialing any more numbers at random. There must be 100 million combinations on that dial. And only one of them is here. So I got up and looked around the room in the dark. You did all right. I thought you'd like to know. I put on my hat and went out for a walk around the block. I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're happy. Because you see, dear lady, I did drop dead. The title of the Quiet Please story you've been listening to was Anonymous. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell. And Athena Lord played my wife. The doctor was Dan Sutter. Peggy Stanley was also in the cast. As usual, music for Quiet Please is played by Albert Berman. Now for the word. about next week's Quiet Please, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Thank you for listening to our first Quiet Please broadcast on ABC. Our second story will be called Light the Lamp.
And so, until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.